You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Well, again, thank you again for joining us tonight. We're going to go to out in Northern California. We've caught up with my friend Paul Preston, and Paul, I'm sure, has a reaction on the development, the political development in California, where the extremely liberal Dianne Feinstein has basically been told by the Democratic Party of California, you are too conservative. And a man named Kevin DeLeon, who we've talked about on this show, garnered 68% of the vote, 60% needed to endorse. And so Kevin DeLeon is endorsed as the Democratic candidate going into the primary against Feinstein. Paul Preston's of Agenda 21 Radio. Paul, I'm glad you could join us on short notice to give us your reaction to this news. Are you as shocked as I am?
No, this is very expected out here. Kevin DeLeon is part of the Communist Party out here, and the communists are supposed to win right now. So, and of course, the Democratic Party is completely a communist group of people. And it just sort of, you know, those that are not close and understanding what's going on in California on a day-to-day basis wouldn't quite understand this. But this is so, he is such an extremist communist. You know, he's the guy who's out here talking about how he gave all of his family came here from Mexico illegally. And he endorses the use of falsification of from driver's license to Social Security. He's been tagged with the Calderon crime syndicate in Southern California, which is a big part of the cartels. I don't remember which exact cartel it was right now, but he's a big player down there in with the Mexican cartel. So surprise, surprise, Dianne Feinstein, who has been, and she's very, very liberal, and of course, she had her husband is Richard Blum, and he is the broker for China. They have been buying up all the real estate out here in California through Richard Blum. Plus, he also got, you know, billions of dollars worth of subsidies for his post office deal. She's as corrupt as they come. But the real bottom line between all this is it's a real change over in ideologies in California Democratic politics from not just the Democratic Party and then progressivism, but to the slip slide into communism, because Kevin DeLeon is clearly a communist, and he's following all the traits given to a communist. He's a very big, you know, Jerry Brown supporter. He supports everything, all the activities that the Pope is doing in California. And he's, you know, he's a Senate pro tem. He's the guy who brought in sanctuary state. He really supports that. So you can see why they want to support him over Dianne Feinstein, primarily because the Democratic Party is going through the same kind of political throes and actual destruction that has been so self-evident out here in California about the Republican Party. You see, one of the things you got to keep this in mind, ladies and gentlemen, when I say this, that if you're a dictator, you don't need no stinking political parties. And California Republican Party is completely dead. It died. It really died an agonizing death here just weeks ago in the June primary. Everybody recognizes this. You know, Dave, just out of the blue, and, you know, you called me at the last minute here, but just out of the blue, the number one topic I've been having conversation about since my radio show Friday afternoon is the demise of the Republican Party in California. Isn't that just just absolutely ironic? Because there's nothing to stand in the way of these progressive communists at this point in time as far as the legislature is concerned. Of course, Jerry Brown, happy to oblige any communist anytime. So it's not a surprise. But here is the interesting twist to this. and your audience needs to be very aware of this. Charles Munger Jr., yeah, Charlie Munger Sr. is the guy who works side by side with Warren Buffett. So he's a multi-billionaire. He brought a whole bunch of money into the Republican Party. He's the guy who brought about the monoparty system for California by destroying the Republican Party. And he did it in concert with Democrats and communists all the way through. But one of the most important things he did is he helped to gerrymander all the different assembly districts and Senate districts throughout California. He helped to establish an actual commission. A commission, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for this? Put your hands in the 10 and 2 position. They hold public meetings in this California redistricting commission. They hold public meetings in Guajardo, Mexico.
No, say it ain't so, Joe.
It is. It's absolutely true. They have public meetings. Why in the world would a California redistricting commission, which, by the way, was spawned by this guy, Charles Munger Jr., why would they do that? Guajardo, the center of the Mexican Civil War against Spain, the Mexican Revolution against Spain, by the way. So Guajardo, Mexico, that seems to be the big place for all those people that want to come from Mexico into California. So anyway, Charles Munger Jr., he sponsors a proposition that allows for the redistricting of California redistricts and districts in 2008. He also does it for the federal districts in 2010, but he also puts in the what's called the guerrilla primary, which is the top two get to go to the finals, right? Regardless of party. So he sponsors and pays for this proposition, which really destroys the two-party system in California. That was in 2010. It goes into effect in 2014. And by 2016, there were 28 Assembly and Senate and federal district positions up, and 23 of them, when you got to the primary, got to the final, through the primary and into the final, 23 were Democrat versus Democrat. 23. I mean, you talk about a shift in the monoparty system. Now, the same thing is going on with the destruction, and I say this because the destruction of the Republican Party has gone hand in hand with this, because Charles Munger Jr. became president of the Republican Party, and then it was a guy by the name of Jim Brulte who was enabling him. He's just as big a slime ball as ever, and he wants to destroy the Republican Party as well. I mean, just the treatment that those two gave Donald Trump when Donald Trump came out here in 2016 in Burlingame, totally despicable. They were absolutely in on organizing all those Mexicans who came down. I mean, these are radicalized Mexicans. These are people that are foreigners, illegals, that came down and protested Donald Trump all throughout the Bay Area. Those guys, the Republican Party actually set that up with the Democratic Party. That's what we have here. It's a monoparty. It's a dictatorship. So anyway, here's the really good news for the Democrats. And this is why it's playing out badly for Dianne Feinstein, is that when you are a dictatorship, you don't need those stinking parties. So what you do is you take out one, the Republican Party. Now, you've done that over the years. The next thing you do is you turn your attention to the Democratic Party. And what they've done, Molly Munger happens to be the sister of Charles Munger, right? She, guess what she is? She's the head of the Democratic Party in California. she's destroying within the Democratic Party. And so this is all a big setup, because, you know, you don't want to have political parties or a two-party system or a Republican form of government, which is, of course, what the Constitution says we're supposed to have. You can't have that. You got to get rid of the two-party system so the dictator can have no opposition. And, of course, that's what they're doing. They're just taking a two-party system.
You know what this is like? This reminds me of the revolution against the Tsar. And yeah, he was killed. But those people weren't radical enough, so here came the Bolsheviks.
Right, right.
And right now, you're looking at Kevin De Leon in this metaphor being a Bolshevik.
Oh, yeah. And of course, nobody wants Kevin De Leon. There's not one person. I think he probably has a favorability rate of about 1%. And that 1% would be his own household. Nobody wants this guy. He's an ass clown completely, but he's a communist. Now, this is what the good communist leadership want, is Kevin De Leon. So they're going to get him. And that goes to the whole thing about the fraudulent, completely bankrupt, completely bogus voting system in California. It is a fraud. It is a hoax, and everybody knows it. And Kevin De Leon will win hands down over Dianne Feinstein. Mark my words. It's going to happen.
I never would have thought that she could have ever been unseated. I still remember her on the floor of the Senate holding an automatic weapon saying, take them all, take them all. And I'm thinking, wow, what an extreme liberal. Well, and now she's being outed because she's not liberal enough.
Right. Well, Kevin De Leon, he's the guy who's been, like I said, behind Sanctuary State. He's also behind all the anti-gun laws that are going on in California. He's behind every single one of them. And listen, he is an idiot. Kevin De Leon, you are an idiot, and you are a liar. You're a thief. You're a criminal. And, I mean, I can't say enough bad words about you, because that's exactly what you're. Satan. You're Satan's spawn.
Paul, let me ask you a question about him. What are his crimes?
Oh, my. Well, you go back down to his, first of all these bills and everything are really criminal, in my opinion, because he's part of the cabal to usher in all these fantastic. You got to remember something. As a legislator, he's issuing and making sure, in his position as Senate pro tem, he's like the Mitch McConnell for the state of California. So he's guaranteed that he can usher in any law he wants to that is going to do anything damaging to California people and overtax and overregulate. He can do that, and he's been doing that at a frantic pace. California has a legislative cycle of 11 months per year. They meet and they legislate laws for 11 months per year. I want people to just take a second and think about that. 11 months per year. And what? No one's complaining? Well, you know, in Texas, and the way we used to do it in California, was that the legislature met one time every 2 years for 6 months, or for 60 days. That's it. 60 days every 2 years. And here in California, oh no, we can't do that. We got to go 11 months per year and legislate law after law after law, and fee after fee, and tax after tax. That's what's running people out of here. And then they get these crazy notions about the Employment Development Department, which of course closes up businesses and sues businesses and things like that. Absolutely outrageous. But Kevin De Leon runs that little, part of the world, and he runs it with great relish, and he passes all these outrageous, outrageous laws, like the vaccine laws, and of course the one about the Bible. AB 2943 that is trying to eliminate the Bible, period, in California. But he also is connected in his home area in Southern California, in his district, to the Calderon crime family, which is absolutely known to be deeply involved with the cartels in Mexico. So he's got to connect the dots down to Mexico. That's why I bring about the question about Guajarta, Mexico. Why is the California legislature paying attention and running an operation in Guajarta, Mexico? Give me a break. I mean, public hearings in Guajarta, Mexico. Now, you think about that, ladies and gentlemen. That is so illegal and constitutionally illegal and improper. Of course, these are constitutional violations, and that's what we're doing in New California, is documenting and grieving these constitutional violations all the time. That's our only outlet right now, to try and save California and save the union, actually.
Man, I just hearing you talk on this, it's just overwhelmingly disturbing.
Yeah. I feel like a disturbed human being, but I am, I guess, because listen, we got to talk about this. This is stuff that no one in their right mind would have ever thought would have been happening, but this is happening. Hello, the evidence is, just the other day, the Democratic Party walked away from Dianne Feinstein and got Kevin De Leon in there, the known liar.
Next thing they'll do is say that Mad Maxine Waters is too peaceful.
Yeah.
Just these people are nuts. But
right.
But you know what? You warned us. You were on my show a year and a half ago, and you said if they didn't get Cal Exit, Katie bar the door, we're going to start seeing this extremism, and you also predicted widespread violence. Is that what's next?
Yes, I believe we're doing everything we can in New California to stop that. And I know that a lot of prayers will not bring about the violence, and that's really what we're hanging on.
Yeah.
So we're moving forward. We're having our first constitutional convention on Saturday coming up here in Harris Ranch, California. The first time it's happened since 1861, which is West Virginia. And it's pretty historic and pretty monumental. We hope that through our process of forming New California, we'll stop the violence, we'll prevent it. Now, this is something I know, quite frankly, you've probably heard the reports of the troops that are training and stuff like that. They're training for a reason, folks. They're training for a reason. And I don't get information from administration, so it's like you, Dave. We have our sources, and you know, gosh darn, they're always right. That's the sad thing. And I even took a trip down to one of the locations to witness for myself some stuff with military training, and it's true. The government is smart enough to figure out that this whole invasion that's coming across the border right now, literally unchecked, and you can see the fanatical nature of what's going on here with the left and all this yelling and screaming. And you know, the thing that's most disturbing about wanting to quote reunite these kids with their families. Hello, the last time I checked, most of these kids don't have parents to reunite with. These are kids that are being sexed trafficked. What in the hell don't these people understand? I mean, this is the ravenous behavior of sex trafficking. You've got 1,000, 2,000 kids that don't have their parents with them that come across the border. And Dave, that you know they're going to be sex trafficked. They're going to be sold as sex objects out there on the open market. That's what's happening. And, you know, they're raging about this. Of course, the more they protest, the more they show themselves. But this is the fact. This is a reality of what's happening with these kids. And, of course, the Catholic charities and all these other religious organizations are getting billions of dollars off these kids as they come across the border, because somehow they have to be housed and sheltered. And the call, really, in a lot of places along the border is when they have an undocumented illegal foreign national who comes across as a child, they are immediately hustled off. The big word is call Catholic Charities to come and get them. Well, that, you know, Catholic Charities is getting billions of dollars to house these kids. It's a racket. It's a multi-billion dollar racket. And this is what Donald Trump has to face. And a lot of these kids, unfortunately, when they get into the charity business like that, they either go to foster care, which is another multi-billion dollar industry, or they get sex trafficked. They get sold. They get sold as slaves. I mean, this is slavery. And no one's out there trying to stop it, other than Trump. But we need to have a conversation and admit what it truly is.
Well, Paul, earlier in this show, I was interviewing someone named Alexandra Daly, and she came across information, and I was able to vet it, that Peter Strzok's father, Peter Strzok Sr., do you know about him?
I've heard some very disturbing things about him, and I have some things that are very disturbing about Peter, but go ahead.
Let me throw you a couple things out on the table. He was a Bush protege, Bush Sr., with the CIA. He was CIA. He was active in Africa. He was active in fixing elections and trafficking and all those kinds of things. And he was connected to Catholic Charities.
Right.
What do you know?
Well, the interesting thing about Peter Strzok, there's a lot of things, but he's turning out, he was one of the people that was referenced when we were studying, or when we were doing the thing about involved with the Lavoie Finicum murder. He was instrumental in helping to make the Lavoie Finicum murder happen. That's a big national story that just now was announced on your show. And you know, we've known about Peter Strzok and his involvement with the murder of Lavoie Finicum. But, you know, a lot of people don't understand that that whole operational attitude was actually, it was sent in by Valerie Jarrett and her resources in the White House, working with Kate Brown, the governor there in Oregon, who happens to be related to Jerry Brown. You got it. It's a cabal pair. Ooh. And they murdered Lavoie Finicum, and they were prepared. There were 200 killer squads that were brought in, and they were prepared to wipe them all out. I mean, they could have, you know, 50, 60, 100 people at the Malheur. And that didn't happen because a lot of people were onto it. And there's quite a story behind as to why it didn't happen. I'm not going to go into that right now, but it's that Peter Strzok was instrumental in that too. And, you know, this whole thing, ladies and gentlemen, why do you think Peter Strzok is doing what he's doing? This is a charade. So it's completely lying. Up in court, he'd never stand a chance here. They're trying to prevent any further damage about, especially the pedophile rings, Dave, you know that. I mean, this is just enormous. And then tomorrow, then on the 16th with Donald Trump meeting Putin, well, you know, that's another big anniversary because it was on the 16th that John Kennedy Jr. was killed was murdered, in my opinion, in the airplane crash. Now, do you think that has any kind of significant value to Hillary Clinton?
I think without question it does. Let's go back to the Strzok Sr. thing for a second, and then Strzok Jr.'s role in Lavoie Finicum. Is this a confidential source, or is this out there publicly now?
For Lavoie? I mean, it's out there. This is a confidential thing right now. Right now, I can okay. public. I mean, I could, but I I choose not to because of who the source is and who the people are.
I'm in that same game, so I completely understand.
People can dig around and probably figure it out real quick. I'm being very, very thin on the veneer on this one, but I just have some respect for some of the players and people involved, and I'm not going to go any further with it.
Well, let me tell you what I've heard, and let me have you critique the Hodges hypothesis, okay?
Okay.
We're just going to think out loud here, and usually we don't do that here on the Common Sense Show. We give you hard data, hard facts, but I want to play the suppose game for a second. I am really upset because this Kevin Shipp video is going around. He's saying Mueller is confused about Uranium-1, blah, blah, blah. Bull crap. Mueller was the guy that first delivered Uranium-1 to the Russians on the tarmac. I have the Russian memo to prove it. I posted it. I have the State Department memo to prove it. I posted it. It was in 2009. Shipp is giving disinfo. No question about it. And Mueller was then the head of the FBI. And I'm linking back into what you were talking about with that link to the FBI. So you go from Mueller to Comey. Comey served Hillary Clinton's purposes with HSBC Bank when he was on their board of directors and squashed their internal investigation into money laundering involving the Clinton Foundation, the cartels, and various terrorist organizations, right, as reported by ex-VP of HSBC, John Cruz. And then Loretta Lynch was the Eastern District Deputy Attorney, and she refused to prosecute on those charges that Cruz brought forward with all kinds of evidence. Now, let's get into what Uranium-1 was real quick. It was basically taking uranium off land and through Uranium-1 and selling it to the Russians. If Mueller is a part of it, the BLM is extracting it through Uranium-1. In other words, they're giving permission for Uranium-1 to come and do this. Is this why these ranchers were going to be wiped out because they didn't want this exposed?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Is the Hodges hypothesis correct?
Yeah, there's only a couple of things. If you go back to who was exposing Comey and all that stuff for terror financing, the guy Cruz got his information from a briefing by Scott Bennett. And that's that goes with that's, you know, and again, that information came from the Scott Bennett that I know, that I was, in fact, about 30 minutes ago, he and I were talking on the phone. And of course, he's now the center of attention for everybody. Scott Bennett is the Russian colluder. Let's face it. He's the guy who's the Russian colluder that Obama's so mad about. And me too. I was on the phone calls with Michael Cohen. We were talking to him about all this Uranium One business, all this terrifying, all this stuff we turned over to the Trump administration before he became president. And that no one's questioned us.
Wait, hold it. You're saying you had direct communication with the president's attorney whose offices were raided?
Yeah. I can give you his phone number sitting right in front of me. I'd still sitting here from when we called him.
Boy.
Yeah, we called him and talked to him and gave him the information. And by the way, listen, ladies and gentlemen, hello. Scott Bennett and myself, and mostly Scott, called every member of Congress, every member of the executive branch and their staff, and mailed copies of every document relative to this conversation that you and I are having. Every member of the House, every member of the Senate, every member of the executive branch got this information, and so did Michael Cohen. Now, listen, everybody got it. So what's the problem? Everybody knew. But, you know, this is the stuff that what happened when Scott Bennett, you know, appeared on at the Liberty Tour, and the video came out in July 11th, 2015, and Vladimir Putin a month later saw it, and the guy from RT called me and said, you know, Vladimir Putin just saw this presentation by Scott Bennett, which links Hillary Clinton and Obama and Comey and all this stuff to the financing, terror financing of ISIS and the formation of ISIS. And I said, oh, okay. Well, a week later, Putin starts bombing ISIS. And of course, that just befuddled Obama and his staff, because they didn't know how they found out, how Putin found out that Russia, or that ISIS, was being financed by them. Duh. It was a video, and it was out there. But these people, we have figured out, because we've had long talks about this. You know, this is so obvious. We went out, we were on the radio. Dave, I talked about this until I was blue in the face, and we have a lot of listeners during the daytime, and I still do. But, you know, they just didn't get it. They're so cloistered in their little bubble in the swamp that they were only listening to their own intelligence people, and they just passed over the information that we gave freely. We were broadcasting on the radio that ISIS was formed by Obama, and ISIS was financed by Obama and Hillary Clinton, and James Comey was the gatekeeper protecting Hillary Clinton and Obama at HSBC, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank. And this whole thing has been known for a long time, yet these people want to create a story and say the Russians were colluding with Trump, and that is absolutely not true. They were colluding with Scott Bennett and Paul Preston.
Yeah, it's kind of like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. What you say is what you are,
right?
And I mean, the real Russian collusion was selling the damn uranium to the Russians, for which Hillary Clinton and Mueller and Bill Clinton and anybody else connected should be executed.
Well, and see, what they're doing is they're trying to blame the Russians wholesale. It's their fault, when in fact they did the colluding, and that's so obvious.
But Trump wasn't even in office, so he couldn't have had anything to do with this nonsense. And then
you had Rosenstein. This is hysterical. He comes out on Friday. And I said to myself, well, this is what I said. As I said, I was sitting here talking to some people in the office, and I said, you know what's going to happen is Rosenstein's gone. They're going to impeach him. And sure enough, I mean, it wasn't an hour later, and they said they're going to impeach him, because what in the hell is he doing? Listen, those guys, these 12 guys that were indicted, we had contact. We had those emails from Hillary Clinton in 2014 and 2015. This is so old news. That's the other thing. They're coming out and they're going to indict, you know, musty, moldy ham sandwiches is what they're going to do, because this is such old news what he's talking about. This is all known during the Obama administration. Remember Guccifer 1 and 2? This is what they're talking about. And you were reporting this stuff.
Yeah, and this is why they pulled Guccifer's Twitter account. You can't tell the story, Guccifer. This is And the Hodges hypothesis, yeah, I'm going to pat myself on the back here.
Yeah,
because absolutely. And so we're looking at not only are these people criminals, they're also murderers.
Right. Well, that's the other thing.
How much do you think I haven't talked to Ammon for quite a while. I haven't talked to him since he's been released. How much do you think he knows about all this?
You know, Dave, I have no comment. I'm not going to comment. I'm not going to speculate. I can tell you that.
I'm going to find out, but I
know. I'm not going to. I mean, I know a lot, and I'm not going to say anything because there's things that are just going to start to play out, and I'm not going to infringe upon what was going on with them or potential lawsuits, because I guess there's some lawsuits coming. Of course. We're going to be talking to Cliven, I think, as early as this week. Cliven and I haven't talked for, you know, a couple of years now, and it's going to be good to talk to him. But we've got a thing being set up right now. We're going to be interviewing him sometime this week, along with Janine Pirro, Judge Janine. She's going to be on the Agenda 21 radio show, so that'll be interesting. But the Cliven Bundy thing that's all coming. He's back. That's all going to come back. And we're going to hear more about Cliven Bundy and more about what's going on. The other part, of course, I call the BLM the brown shirts Nazis of the federal government, which is really what they are. Then they have been.
Yes.
They're complete brown shirt Nazis. There's no other way to describe them. And we have there's a lot of things that are going to come out about them and what they've been doing in terms of taking over the property and stuff. Of course, California, the new California, the Jefferson movement, all that stuff is starting to really heat up. And it's all about property, too. I mean, really a lot of it comes down to property, especially with the Jefferson movement more so than ours. But and of course, I guess we're kind of like, if you want to say we're a really big land grab, we are. We're going to take about 85% of California and make it a new state. But then there's Tim Draper, and everybody's figuring out that with Tim Draper, with his three-state situation, we started doing a timeline check of when he came out in August of 2017 with the three-state thing. There's only one real constitutional movement in California that's going to be successful, and that's ours. The people, constitutionalists, have now looked at it and said, we're going to make a new state. There's no question. We have the right form, and we know what we're doing. Well, so in August of 2017, Tim Draper, he dusts off the old six-state thing and breaks out the three-state thing. And now people are saying that what Tim Draper was doing is actually trying to distract from what we're doing, which I said at the time, he's trying to distract from what we're doing because he's totally unconstitutional. He doesn't know what he's doing. And, of course, now there's like a 72 or 73% disapproval rate against the three-state notion in California. So, yeah, there's the globalists are at play right now, but they're struggling. And, Dave, they're really blowing up big time. In some places, they're really not going to be able to contain themselves much further. Look for something to happen with John Brennan and Javier Becerra. Those are the two lightning rods for things to start happening. And, of course, Javier Becerra out here, he was part of the Awan brother scandal, as you know. And actually, he hired the Awan brothers. I don't know if you know that or if you've heard it.
I do know that. And But the Awan brothers have basically gotten a walk. I mean, what are they guilty of? Bank fraud on a low level? I mean, basically Sessions gave them a walk.
Well, there's also the bigger fish is Javier Becerra, and there's a lot going on there.
Can he bring down Wasserman Schultz?
Well, the question is, the thing is that both of them are going down, Javier Becerra and Wasserman Schultz.
But who's going to bring who down? Who states evidence is going to compromise the other?
Well, the evidence has already been provided by the Awans. They rolled over on Javier Becerra and the rest of the people. That's why they kind of got the light thing going on. Yeah, but they're still bound by a lot of other things. And in other words, if the information doesn't turn out or they've been lying, they're going back again. The one-on-one brother will go away for a long time.
Yeah. Speaking of these connections, because there is a bootstrap connection here with what I'm going to ask you about. I forget the woman's name. The 48-year-old woman that was found in a trash compactor in, you know where I'm going with this, in Uma Abedin's and Anthony Weiner, their apartment.
Right.
Is there anything to this? Because my email is blowing up with allegations. What do you know about this?
I know very little about it. You know, I got to tell you, even I get to a saturation point where, you know, it's, and you know, we say this all the time, Dave, you just can't make it up. And again, you just can't make it up. Where is this coming from? And the more we dig, the more we don't, you know, we're not even digging, are we? I mean, really?
It's, a lot of this stuff is presenting itself now.
It's just exactly. It's walking up and saying, okay, well, this also happened.
I know. I get the same thing every day. I just had on a person who's never been on the radio before, Alexandra Daly, and she was nervous as hell, but she came to me with three stunning revelations of what she found, and I confirmed all three, and I said, hey, we're going to talk about this. and she was so nervous that she forgot what she was saying in part of it. But it's okay, because the thing is she gave me great information, and I'm probably going to have her on again. And she'll get better with time on this. This is, I mean, I remember my first show, but my gosh, was her information good. She opened my eyes to Linda Barsoomy and Rod Rosenstein's wife, and I've since written about that a number of times, both as a full feature and as ancillary parts. What do you know about Barsoomian?
Oh, I don't know, but I know Rosenstein's wife. Doesn't she work for Clinton?
Well, see, that's Barsoomian. Yeah, that's Lisa Barsoomian. I'll give you the down and dirty.
This is, again, this, ladies and gentlemen, this is another point where we're not making it up.
No, this is unfolding as we talk. But I've been able to confirm all this. First of all, she's a U.S. attorney with a NIH email, National Institute of Health. That's how the CIA covers their assets when they're federal government employees. And I've been told that a million times. And secondly, she's protected Clinton in court 45 times, Mueller 6 times, Comey, I think, 3 or 4 times. And I forget, but she's like, do you remember the movie, and I brought this up last hour, The Firm with Tom Cruise, and he wakes up one day to realize he's actually representing mobsters and didn't know it?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, well, that Linda Barsoomian knows it. She's representing the entire deep state, and she's the shot blocker for FOIA requests to the FBI. This woman, it's unbelievable. And you combine her with Rosenstein, I mean, there's radiation coming out of that abode.
Well, yeah, and you know, I got to tell you, was Rosenstein's performance just hideous on Friday? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out when you're being absolutely lied to by a guy like Rosenstein. It really doesn't. I mean, his body, like, and, you know, I got to tell you, I've been specially trained about lying and stuff like that, you know, the way they look and the way they do things when people are out there. And this guy just could not pass any smell test about lying. He just couldn't do it. And of course, when you tie that into his wife's stuff and what she's been doing, defending the Clintons all the time, listen, I got to tell you, it was brilliant to hire Rosenstein to put him in that job. Let's think about this. It was brilliant to put him there, because now all these little secrets are coming out, and he took the job willingly, and look what he did. He recommended Comey be fired. I mean, Trump is brilliant. He's brilliant. You got to think about that for a second. This is a long ball thing, and now we're starting to talk about Rosenstein's wife, and that also gets into Mr. Mueller. Hello. I mean, one thing just is leading to another. Trump has set these people up so badly, and they gleefully went along with it, thinking they're going to protect the deep state, when in fact all they've done is revealed the deep state. That's what Flynn's all about. You know, Flynn's an operator. He was assigned to go get arrested. That's really what it is. But in the arrest, find out everything you can while you're being arrested about their questioning techniques, where they're going with things, how they let them befriend you. This is he's an operator for Trump, and he's developed all this information on the deep state operators within the Justice Department. And guess what? It's going to be used against him. That's why Flynn's case is falling apart, because there is no case there.
No,
it's same way of you know. Sure.
No, I totally agree. Well, since we're kind of going through and taking the magical mystery tour here, how about Brett Kavanaugh? I have been scathing in my rebuke of Trump, but then I did something. Let me explain it, and I'll set this up for you to respond to. I came out and said, what the hell is Trump doing? Look at who Kavanaugh is, supporter of Obamacare, blah, 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 friends with the Bushes, his wife, kind of like Rosenstein's wife. Now, I did a comparison, and I've taught body language in a subset of psychology and sociology classes I've taught at the undergraduate level. So I know it academically. So what I did is I went and got the nomination speech for Gorsuch, and I compared it to Kavanaugh. And with Gorsuch, Trump was highly animated, raised his hands above his shoulder several times in gleeful expressions. His cheeks were up, smiling. He had no micro expressions. Now, let me explain micro expression real quick. Micro expression is where you are reading body language, but it's at a subconscious level. So you have to freeze it on a video to see it. Your subconscious mind can pick it up. Your conscious mind often can't, and that's why they call it micro expression. And the micro expressions influence our perceptions, but we can't tell you why we feel that way about a person, but we read their body language, and that's 90% of all communication. Well, with Trump talking about Kavanaugh, he had these scowls for micro expressions. His forehead would come together to the center, his eyes would narrow, and he would just raise his lips in kind of a scowl, and we call this a micro expression of anger and hostility. And he had it seven times in the video where he gave this, and he looked like he was in a body cast. He was not animated, he was not excited, and verbally, the speeches were almost identical. So it's kind of like he took speech number one and says, hi, I'm excited about this. So here's speech number two. It's perfunctory, and I'll just put it out there. My conclusion is this, that he had Gorsuch was his choice. It's his boy. He was excited. Kavanaugh was forced upon him. And I want to know what you think about that. And do you know of anything that would validate that belief?
I don't have anything that would validate that belief, but I think that it's a curious pick, Kavanaugh, because of his Catholic and Jesuit background. I think that's a very curious pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, huge Jesuit background.
Right.
And Georgetown Prep, to be exact.
Right. And now, I mean, I'm not... You know, I'm not kind of one of these craven anti-Jesuit kind of guys because my daughter went to a Jesuit school. But also I tried to get into a law school that was Jesuit. And I've had affiliations, as you probably have in your coaching days and education days, with Jesuit schools. And they've been fine, outstanding places and produce outstanding people. But, you know, when you talk about the number of Jesuits that are around in Washington, D.C., and of course, take a look at California, the Jesuits, the Jesuits run California. You have to kind of wonder about that. Now, will he render decisions and be on a Scalia level? I don't know. And, you know, I know Jesuits that don't even think anything of the Jesuit order or how to behave like a Jesuit, like a Jerry Brown would, you know. But I do find it a little odd that we have just so many of them. I think we have to, at some point in time, say, wait a minute, everybody is coming from Georgetown in government. There's something wrong with that picture.
Oh, well, a lot of people feel this is an example of how Trump is being leveraged by some unknown, unseen force in the deep state. Do you see any evidence of that, too? Do you agree a lot of his actions are curious? He was going to drain the swamp, but he appoints the swamp and doesn't fire people from the swamp?
No. I think I have a pretty good idea where he's going with everything, and I'm very comfortable with it. And I think that time will tell. And I think that a lot of this stuff is stuff designed to deflect and defray, because if you're going to go attacking full-on assault like a Normandy invasion of the swamp, you're not going to succeed. You know, it has to be very, very covert. It has to be give and take. It has to be, you know, very, very unseen in a lot of ways. And that's what's going on right now. There's a lot of that going on. And it's a big country, by the way, that's been put into this position from stem to stern. You know, I mean, really has in just about every part of our country and every one of our cities and all elements of government, you know, this deep state has been operating. And so it's huge. And how we get to clean it, I really don't care, but I want it cleaned, and I know that he's attempting to clean it.
Putin and Trump, six months after the conference. Okay, so we're projecting out. It's my belief, and I want you to respond to this too, yay or nay. It's my belief that for both Russia and the United States to survive and ward off the globalists, that Russia in America, Putin and Trump, are going to have to combine forces in many areas.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they have to do.
And do you think this is why the New York Times came out with scathing rebukes of the meeting, and why the rest of the mainstream media was putting it down, and why Mueller indicted Russian soldiers just prior to the meeting to try to throw a monkey wrench in? Do you think that the mainstream media is reflecting deep state attitudes to try to have kept that meeting from happening?
Well, sure. It's also Putin who's leading the charge about the breaking up the pedophile rings. And a lot of people don't understand that, but that's absolutely true. You know, it goes back to the days of Ceausescu in Romania. You know, there was a point in time when they stopped actually giving babies. The baby adoption business was huge in Romania, and of course, for sexual reasons, it was huge. Kind of like Castro's Cuba. Castro runs a multi-billion-dollar industry of, you know, babies and sexual molestations and so on. And Ceausescu in Romania was the same. And, you know, it was legend, basically, about the number of babies that were stolen from their parents. I mean, communism in Bulgaria and Romania and everything, you got to remember, Dave, that was real hardcore communism, much like it is in North Korea, where you had communes and people owned nothing. And their subsistence came from the government every single day. They couldn't own any private property. It was forbidden. Nothing. Couldn't have chickens. You couldn't have anything that was your own. And if you did, by the way, back then, I can remember this vividly when I went on my trip back there in 92. If you had possession of a Bible, they would kill you right on the spot. So the Romanian government, as a way to make money, would have babies be sold for sexual reasons. And this is something that's deep and at the heart of many of the countries there, as because they were so starved for cash, they had, you know, this is what communism gets down to. And Putin knows that, and he doesn't want that. That completely goes against any part of his soul. He doesn't want that. In fact, that note that was given to Flynn, the whole note that started the whole thing off with Flynn being arrested and so on, was a note that listed and detailed all of the pedophile rings that were flying in and out of St. Petersburg, and who the passengers were, who the people were, where the manifests were going to, and so on. Kids. This is where the kids in cages thing comes in. Kids being flown around the world for sexual reasons, sexual exploitation. It's a massive industry, and it's something that's not seen, not understood. I learned this stuff back in the 1980s. It was going on when I went through the LAPD Crimes Against Children Task Force training. We talked about this extensively, and it's still going on. And this is what the left fears. It's coming out now, and they really fear it tomorrow with Putin, who's leading the charge on this. And Trump too. Trump's not tolerating this stuff, and that's why these people are pushing so hard and trying to stop whatever happens. But yes, there's going to be you know, the other part of it is Islam. You know, what are the Muslims trying to do to try and take over Russia? That's another big battle for Putin.
I know that, and it can be our battle before long too.
Oh yeah, it's going to be our battle. It's our battle right now. Especially out here in California, especially with MS-13 and all this stuff going on.
Well, that's interesting. And in fact, I had one of my sources tell me today. He said, you know, Dave, that Mexico leads the world in murder of journalists. Uh-huh. He said that mantle is going to be passed to the United States should the liberals ever get control of this government. They will wipe out all opposition and that's why MS-13 is here.
Right. Well, the other part of it...
Aren't you going to argue with me?
No. MS-13 is also... They're specifically trained to kill politicians and opinion leaders in a country. That's what their big job is. That's what they're trained for as little kids. You know, a seven-year-old learning how to shoot a gun and then kill people. That's his job. You know, some of these MS-13 kids, by the time they're 10, they've killed five or six people.
It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
Paul, tell us how people can follow your good work. Listen, I hadn't planned on keeping you this long, but the information was too riveting. I mean, it just happened. You know, and... feel like a couple of teenagers that went just too far here, and it was really, really enlightening to have this conversation with you. But I want you to tell me, or tell the audience very quickly in the time that's left, how they can follow your good work.
Well, we do live broadcast 6 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 9 to 12 Eastern on Red State Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday. And you can hear us there, agenda21radio.news, and that's Red State Talk Radio. RedStateTalkRadio.com. You can go there and get the list, you know, listen to it. Also, NewCaliforniaState.com. We have a lot of things going on because we have the very first constitutional convention in the nation since 1861 is going to start on the 21st in Harris Ranch, California, and that will be our the kickoff, if you will. It'll be one of several days. This will be the first one, and then in September we come back, and then November we come back also with the third part of the Constitutional Convention. But this is very historic. It's incredibly historic. We are going to make New California, and in spite of all the things going on with Jerry Brown and the communists out there, they're not going to stop us. You know, it's hard to stop the First Amendment. That's really what we tell everybody. Go ahead, sue us for our First Amendment rights. You know, that's going to look really good in court when you're going to sue us for that. But you know, this is quite a deal that's going on here out here in California. We're trying to save the nation, believe it or not. So, if your listeners can help, if they are interested in reading a grievance in their state or their community, just go to the newcaliforniastate.com contact page and fill out a form, and we'll make sure that you're covered. We had 12 states read grievances last Tuesday as part of our Declaration of Independence grievance process, and we had 20 counties in California reading, so that was pretty awesome.
This week
it looks like Chicago is going to be reading grievances to support us. Chicago.
Yeah, they better duck with the Sinaloas in town. Paul, I really appreciate you being with us. I've been very gracious with your time, and it'll be great to follow your show as you have all these great guests on.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks to my friend Paul Preston for joining us. We'll be back next week for another great show. Go out and have a great week. God bless.